Quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. So you can choose what's right for you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature. Quiets their snores. Sleep Number does that. Sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on Sleep Number limited edition smart beds for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
So I'm trying to understand Buenos Aires. And I've only got a week.
Amazing they work, you know? I still, like, I look at a plane, I'm figuring, I understand scientifically how they fly, but it doesn't look like it should work.
No, it doesn't.
That's a big hunk of metal.
Yeah.
And who are these people? Are they waiting for friends to arrive, or no? They're just here looking at planes.
Yes, it's popular. You come here, and you watch a couple of planes come and go.
The whole family.
Buenos Aires, capital of Argentina, second largest country in South America. It's got a quirky, unique character all its own. It looks like no other place, and it feels unlike any other.
Silence.
Yeah, right? It's very pretty here. I mean, it's really beautiful. I'm glad I came in the summer. It's when it's quiet. It's got sort of a mournful, sad, sweet quality that I like. Fits with the architecture. Everybody go? Like now, where is everybody?
The city's empty. The month of January, everyone go for holidays.
January and February are the hottest months here, middle of summer. Most porteños who can afford it get out of town to cooler climes.
They go to Uruguay or Mar del Plata, which is our beach, or to Patagonia, or to the north. I have a home in Patagonia.
Uh-huh.
Far away from any restaurant. It has no internet, no electricity, no phone.
I mean, it's a little antisocial. For a guy who's a communicator, you're all over television.
Yeah, I'm not very social.
Chef restaurateur Francis Mallmann is one of the biggest and most influential figures in Latin American gastronomy. A TV star, head of a restaurant empire, and now in middle age, gives delightfully few shits about anything unimportant.
This is a restaurant I love, Carlitos. He serves you whatever he has. There's no menu.
Of all the places in the world that Francis Mallmann can eat and has eaten, it's this place he wanted to take me to. Bodegón Don Carlitos.
It's him and his wife in the kitchen with the two daughters. There's nobody else, and they've been open for 45 years.
An unassuming family-run joint across from the soccer stadium.
So who are the customers ordinarily?
You know, it doesn't have prices. It's fun because you see very simple people, and if you look sort of wealthy and elegant, you will get a big check, and if not, you'll get a small check. That's the way it works. This is Carlitos.
How do you do, sir?
We can.
Thank you.
For you.
Beautiful.
I will.
And this guy.
There are gods here besides tango and football, or soccer as we call it. There's beef. Porteños, as residents of Buenos Aires are called, like beef and meat in general, but particularly beef.
That's fantastic. Man, I love this place already.
Yes, I love meat. I eat meat every day. La morcilla.
Now that's exciting. This is one of my favorite things on earth.
El budan.
Love it. It's a proud country. I mean, one of the stereotypes is that Argentines are too proud, that they're and full of themselves, vain, proud. If this is so, why is psychotherapy so huge in this country? I mean, this is the kingdom of doubt.
You know, my kids have been to the shrink since they're 8 for a year or two. Just, you know, well, go to the shrink and talk to someone who you don't know.
Right.
With whom you can say whatever you want. I did it myself a couple of years when I was 30.
I mean, it's an extraordinary thing because in many cultures, to confess that you need to even confide in someone is seen as a sign of weakness. Here, everybody does it and in no way frowned upon it.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of cool. Because I could use somebody, I need somebody to talk to.
Have you ever done it?
I was a teenager. My parents caught me with drugs and as part of the deal, to stay out of trouble. I saw a therapist briefly.
Mm-hmm. Meet Mariana, my therapist. Argentina has the distinction of being home to more head shrinkers per capita than anywhere else in the world.
So, Tony, what brought you here?
What brought me here? Well, things have been happening. I will find myself in an airport, for instance, and I'll order an airport hamburger. It's an insignificant thing. It's a small thing. It's a hamburger.
Yeah.
But it's not a good one. Suddenly, I look at the hamburger, and I find myself in a spiral of depression that can last for days. George Orwell said something that really upset me. He talked about human beings are essentially tubes into which we shove food.
Mm-hmm.
And this is my job. I travel around the world with these people and they turn on the cameras and then for a certain period of time, my job is to shove food into my face. And
what's wrong with that?
You have to eat.
Look at that. They're just not messing around here, right?
It's beautiful.
It's amazing.
No, it's perfect food.
Wow. I mean, it's really unnecessarily delicious. What kind of food is this? Where is it rooted?
Between Italy and Spain, and then a bit of the gaucho too with the meat, the way he cooks it. It's La Boca, this neighborhood, is very Italian. They say that this is where tango was born, in this little street, 2 blocks away here called Caminito.
where does that come from emotionally? The need for tango, why here?
Tango is extremely sad. It's about love, about despair, it's about poverty. And the dance, I think, is one of the most elegant dances in the world, you know, where they barely move and suddenly they stop. When they stop, you know, you tremble because you feel that the man is sort of inside of her almost. And then he goes on.
It's crushingly lonely. I travel over 200 days a year. So I had this dream again that I've had as long as I can remember. I'm stuck in a vast, old Victorian hotel with endless rooms and hallways, trying to check out, but I can't. I spend a lot of time in hotels, but this one is medicine because I just can't leave it. There's another part to this dream, always, where I'm trying to go home, but I can't quite remember where that is.
Are you alone?
I'm alone in this dream, yes.
My heart, what I like of Buenos Aires in Argentina is that we take time to sit down and have lunch every day.
Tony, yeah, I'm always hungry.
And they finish lunch and they stay at the table for 1 hour more with their friends. And then they go to work or they have a siesta.
Then a nap.
And then a nap.
Very important. Yeah. Totally, I'm on board with that.
On the outskirts of town, in the roaring summer heat, the fires still burn hot. The tempting miasma of meat fills the mid-afternoon air. On the Parrilla, many parts of once living things sizzle and char for the pleasure of those porteños who remain in town. Like Mariana, my new therapist.
Wow, what?
Wow.
Wow, I don't think that's enough.
Meat is king and fire, and we shall go hard in honoring the flame.
God, I don't know where to attack this first.
All of us, we call it achuras.
Achuras.
Kidney,
right.
Sausage, which is chorizo. Black sausage, which is the morcilla here.
And this is the famous intestine, right?
Yes.
After a week or two here, even confirmed carnivores like myself will fall to their knees, praying for a vegetable.
So, is this normal, like lunch for people?
Yes, completely.
Tell me, what did you do during your time in Buenos Aires?
Ate a lot of meat.
Yeah.
Do you have any vegetables in this country at all?
You know, there are a lot of vegetarian people here.
Yeah, right.
And they...
Chicken.
A chicken is a vegetable, isn't it?
Why is therapy so big in Argentina? Because, I mean, the country also has this gaucho tradition, a very macho tradition.
Yes, that's what therapy is for. They can do it there.
They can. So it's okay.
Yeah, it is okay.
See, as New Yorkers, we tell each other, you tell strangers all of your problems. We overshare.
Well, people here don't overshare.
No.
I feel like a Quasimodo, the Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Yeah.
If he stayed in nice hotel suites with high thread count sheets, that would be me. I feel kind of like a freak, and I feel very isolated. I communicate for a living, but I'm terrible at communicating with people I care about. I'm good with my daughter. An 8-year-old is about my level of communication skills, so that works out.
Oh, my God.
That was just the vegetable course.
Yes.
Later, I'm going to have a nap. That would be a Porteño thing to do. Like, yeah. After, yeah, have a nice...
It's more like people from the provinces, from the...
Right. Well, that's me. I'm a country... No, I'm not a country boy.
No, you're a city boy.
I'm a city boy, but I do like naps. So, regular people, all summer long, you're stuck in Buenos Aires. What do you do?
Go for a barbecue. Go out for dinner. You have a lot of shows and concerts and music.
So what's the best season, the best time of year for you? The best money, the best business?
That is summer.
In the summer?
In summer, yeah, yeah.
Now?
Yeah.
Why? Because it's tourists.
European people of the north, the States, Canada. It's called, now they come into the summer.
Right.
All hail the waiter, the career server, that great disappearing species of proud, well-trained specialists, members of the service industry who trace their roots back to the great hotels of Europe and beyond into history. Those who remain, like this man Mario, we salute you.
So how many years in the dining room? A lot.
Yeah, I started when I was 70 years old in a restaurant. 17 years.
The people who work in the kitchen, one type of personality. The people in the dining room, you need to be more sociable.
I like very much to speak with old people from the whole world. When I speak English, German, I speak German very well, Italian, Portuguese.
A friend of mine who's worked in the business a long time, he tells me, whenever a man comes into the restaurant with a woman, they never say, oh, mister, good to see you again.
No.
You don't know if the woman is his wife or someone else. And if you say, oh, so good to see you again, they say, what do you mean again? I thought you said you've never been here.
I remember when I was 18 years old, I was in a restaurant working, came down a man with his wife and say, how are you, Dr. Rodriguez?
Yeah.
Always do you go to the nightclub?
Ooh.
That man won't kill.
Right, big problem now.
No, of course. No, never must say that.
If you're a cheap tipper, by the way, or rude to your server, you are dead to me. You are lower than whale feces.
Twenty, 30 years ago, waiting was a profession.
Yeah.
Everybody learned certain skills. If you need to take bone out of fish, serve the fish at the table side.
I make everything.
Right. So steak flambé.
Yeah.
No problem.
Right.
Crepe Suzette?
Crepe Suzette, of course. Every these things I do it, yeah.
All of this, of course.
Yeah, I know.
Fold the napkins.
Yeah, yeah. All that shit. I remember when I started in the dining room, it was 5 captains, 6 waiters, 5 assistant waiters, sommelier, assistant sommelier. It was quite different. Nowadays, it's more simple. All come in dish, the food, then
right.
Finish, yeah.
In France, no more. You don't see it.
No more, no?
No. In the Michelin restaurants, you don't see it.
Nowadays, the people are more simple, yeah.
Because they're easy.
Yeah. Easy, very easy. They say, keep me red wine, keep me white wine. No problem which one. This work was I doing as a waiter, slowly melting away. That's a finish, I suppose, 15 years or 20 years more, it's finished.
To the old style. Cheers.
Cheers.
This podcast is supported by Sleep Number. Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature. Quiets their snores? Sleep Number does that. Only Sleep Number Smart Beds let you each choose your ideal comfort and support, your Sleep Number setting. Sleep Number Smart Beds learn how you sleep and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. All Sleep Number smart beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. Temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. Sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on Sleep Number limited edition smart beds for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Dr. Sanjay Gupta, CNN's chief medical correspondent. This week on Chasing Life.
Lately, we have been paying attention to a very different virus, bird flu, which is caused by the H5N1 virus. If you start to hear that it's circulating in pigs, that would be a concern.
That means I would go from sleeping with one eye open to one and a half eyes open. Yeah, that would make me very concerned.
Listen to Chasing Life, wherever you get your podcasts.
Who do Porteños see themselves as? I mean, do they say, well, I'm Argentine, I'm from Argentina, or do they say, well, my people came from Italy, or my people came from...
See, from Spain. The Porteño itself, they think that it's from another planet. No, I'm Porteño, I'm from Buenos Aires. I'm different from anybody else.
I tell stories for a living. I write books. I make television. A reasonable person does not believe that you are so interesting that people will watch you on television. I think this is evidence of a narcissistic personality disorder to start with.
Do you think you had a narcissistic personality before you start to be in a like a public person or after that?
Before, I think before, probably.
Okay.
Yeah, I think always.
So
it's nothing to be done.
I know that the morning monster that brings me up and things about to blow. A monster, 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 monster.
Spread of so many thoughts,
Buenos Aires.
You have, you know, the life of the musicians, which is very important here, the tango, all the artists. Then you have sort of the corporate world, which is always boring. And on the other edge, you have in the very poor neighborhoods, all these hundreds of thousands of children that run behind a ball and they want to be soccer players. And they have a dream, it's all they have. And they know the faster they run, the harder they hit that ball, the better they move around it. Maybe they will get it.
Chef, you do this all the time?
Like once a week.
This late at night?
Yes.
It's way too late for me.
Restaurant subculture, depending on where you are, can revolve around a number of activities, not all of them wholesome in my experience. The business is hard, the hours are long, the camaraderie intense. After a long day and night of work, the mind turns to soccer? Okay, this is a distinguishing feature I was frankly unprepared for.
So everyone here work for you?
Well, we have like two teams, you know? He's the chef of Le Grill. It's a parrilla.
Yes.
And close, like two blocks, we have Chile, and right. I'm the chef.
So of course.
And we have the two teams.
Right.
Chef Soledad Nardelli, along with her husband and business partner, owns and operates Chile Restaurant, where she still works the line.
We, as a country, we are ignorant of our culture, traditions. We have a lot of products, not only meat.
Un bife solo a punto, por favor.
It's 1 a.m., and tonight, it's a blood match between the crews of Chila and its sister restaurant, La Grill.
We share a lot of products with Peru, Bolivia, Brazil, Paraguay. We have the big influence of immigrants like Germans, Swiss people, Netherlands. So that is our identity.
Rich traditions.
Yeah. Do you want a drink?
What do you have?
We have Fernet.
Fernet?
We've been drinking a little bit.
Oh, good.
We are used to drink aperitifs, right. The digestives. Mm-hmm. It's good for your stomach.
Right.
You know?
So it's healthy?
Yes.
I ain't playing no soccer. Alcohol and meat in tube form, however, are more familiar to me.
The chorizos are homemade. 40% pork, 40% cow, and all the cuts are dry aged. So,
sweet. So it's got some funk.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it's the television or the 30 years in the restaurant business. I never understood how normal people lived. You know, when I was a chef, I worked all day. I hung out all night with other cooks, other restaurant people. You know, like I really love like barbecuing on vacation in the backyard. I love cooking for my daughter. I like doing these really normal, mundane things because I never got to do them before.
So you've been in the restaurant business a long time?
I started here in Buenos Aires.
Right.
18 years ago.
Right, but wait a minute. Cooking was not your original plan. What was the original plan?
Law.
Was law.
Yes. Yeah.
But why would you do such a foolish thing? I mean, there's no money in cooking most of the time. Back then, it was a business dominated entirely by men.
I was not feeling good with myself, you know? Mm. I said, maybe I'm going to be a really good lawyer, but I'm not going to be happy in my life.
So right away, you said, okay, I'm going to cook, and you went to Bocuse. To Institute Paul Bocuse?
Yes, at the Lyon. Yes?
Yes. It's a tough school.
Yeah.
Well, very, very traditional.
For me, the experience of France was really hard.
Oh, I can only imagine.
You know, Latin American woman from Argentina, speaking less, few French. I cry all night. Call my mom, and she told me, like, Sole, go on. Keep going. And I always said, when I have the opportunity of running my own kitchen, mm-hmm. I'm not going to repeat any of the things that they did to me. So, till now, I did it okay, you know?
Good for you. You know, all these tough guys, they're all big babies anyway. Mm-hmm. Like the first women who came into kitchens when I started, back when it was all men, mm-hmm. one woman would come in and pretty soon all the guys are like going crying to them with their problems. It's like, you know, please be my mommy, you know, be, you know, tell me what to do, you know.
The delicious, delicious choripan is an iconic street food around here for reasons that are immediately obvious once you bite into one.
Oh, that's good. I needed this badly.
This is Argentinian style. It's beer with Coke.
Beer? No, that's wrong, man. No.
I'm old for this.
The assignment with me, Audie Cornish.
So there have been arrests, suspensions, disciplinary hearings. They're shutting down graduation events.
At this moment, the part of the protests that are admirable are young people calling attention to atrocities.
Michael Roth is the president of Wesleyan University.
I would like to make a space for them to do that, as long as that space doesn't prevent other people from pursuing their education.
Listen to The Assignment with me, Audie Cornish, on your favorite podcast app.
Who's here? It's summer, right?
Well, that's a very interesting question. Lower class people that cannot go out for a holiday,
right.
They stay here,
make
and
your own
they
holiday.
Make a party happen in their own neighborhood.
Carnival season here.
And it goes on every weekend for a month.
A month?
Yeah.
Carnival is different in Argentina, decidedly different. In every barrio in Buenos Aires, there are celebrations, with over 100 murgas, as they're called, taking to the streets, traveling from barrio to barrio by bus, doing their thing.
So they're like neighborhood teams?
Yes, every neighborhood has one or two of these murgas,
right.
And they start in one neighborhood and then go to another and then go to another, and it's healthy competition between every neighborhood.
These guys are Murga Los Amantes. They're from La Boca, which according to the guidebook is an old industrial neighborhood in the Port District known for historic buildings and no small amount of crime.
Is it like a parade, a block party?
It's a little bit of each. This is not like Rio Carnival.
Right.
You have a huge parade with lots of money.
Right. We do a lot of different scenes, most of the meals, or I drive sports cars, I jump out of planes. But there are a few things that terrify me. Carnivals, I'm afraid of clowns. Horrified. People dancing, crowds. You know, I've lived a long life without ever going to Carnival in Rio or Mardi Gras. I don't like it. There's something frightening about crowds, too. And what if they all decide to do one thing at the same time? It starts as a party. 5 minutes later, it's like Nazi Germany.
Yeah.
Well, it's a pity that you couldn't enjoy the whole carnival stuff.
Yeah, okay, this is perfect for me. I'm sitting down, I'm drinking beer.
What
it's
else?
All right, honestly.
It has a common root with Brazilian carnival and Uruguay carnival, but in each place took a different way. In Brazil, it was more for the spectacle and the lights, and here it's more about the pride of the neighborhood.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
this romanticism, this sadness, this love of sadness. What was it about the history of Argentina that allowed this to take root?
From a difficult life. From a life, you know, living in a little room, but always with the glory and the dream of a night out, of the man who has his beautiful hat for Saturday night. And then next morning, you know, reality's back.
Who's left in the city? Who else stays?
Who else stays?
Well, construction workers.
Construction workers. This building, it's a big one. It's 18 stories.
Right.
It's in the middle of Capital Federal, from the center of Buenos Aires.
Right.
So it's going to be an expensive building.
So who's going to live here?
I don't know. People with money.
I mean, you know, how's the economy?
The economy, it's crazy. It's
some people doing good, some people not doing good.
Yeah. The middle class has been disappearing.
They tell me that everybody in Argentina sees a psychologist or a psychiatrist. Is this true?
It's true. There's
everybody?
Yeah. Well, not everybody. People that can afford it, but...
Right.
So, let's go back to the first question I asked. What brought you here?
I'd like to be happy. I'd like to be happier. I should be happy. I have, you know, incredible luck.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to be able to, you know, look out the window and say, hey, life is good.
And you don't?
No. I'm not going to get a lot of sympathy for people, frankly. I mean, I have the best job in the world, let's face it. I go anywhere I want. I do what I want. Look, that guy over there loading sausages onto the grill, that's work. This is not so bad. It's all right. I'll make it.
Yeah.
If people work hard like they do in construction, it is expected that they be well-fed. And in Buenos Aires, well-fed means, yeah, you guessed it.
How often do they do this?
Once a week, on Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
They used to do it every day, but economic, you know, the
meat, right. Meat
is really expensive.
Expensive now.
Remember, you know, walking on the street and you smell the...
You smell it from the construction sites.
Yeah, yeah.
So most construction sites, they do like this?
Mm-hmm. Everyone.
Nico, lead singer of Octophonic.
Hola.
Like nearly every porteño...
Sweet.
He knows good beef...
Gracias.
...and where to find it.
Mm. It's good. Mm. Unless you work hard, you need a big hunk of meat.
It's, you know, from the low chain of the meat,
mm-hmm.
but it really has a lot of fat, and it's
right. Good for you.
Yeah. He says that we need some wine, red wine.
Yeah, right.
I saw some construction sites that they have.
They serve wine?
Yeah.
Yeah. Man.
I guess the owners of this construction especially are strict about it.
I'd be a little nervous.
Yeah, of course.
Dave's up on the top floor. 50
meters. Yeah.
So where are most of these guys from?
Son todos acá ustedes? O paraguayo también? ¿Vos sos paraguayo? We got one from Paraguay here. A lot from Argentina.
From Buenos Aires or from outside of Buenos Aires?
Usually from inside, from the provinces.
And how long has the job lasted?
I was asking, it started 1 year and a half ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a long time.
Mm-hmm.
How much work is there? A lot, a little? I mean, after this, another job?
Tienen trabajo después de esto, ¿no? Terminan este y van a otro. Yeah, I guess they jump from construction to construction.
So they're working regular, always.
Yeah.
Seguir y seguir la huella. Es demasiado aburrido. Seguir y
seguir. It's hard to get back to work after having a...
Yeah, I just want to go home and sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Nunca los voy a engrasar.
try it out. Just a few hours.
Hola, Papa.
And you're going now next to Rome? It's such a beautiful city.
No, next, Brazil. Then to Japan. Nashville, Vietnam, Houston. You know, like there's the evil cheeseburger that sets me off, the evil hamburger. Suddenly I'm super depressed for days. It's like that with the good stuff too. I have a couple of happy minutes there where I'm thinking, life is pretty good.
Not cheaper.
Yeah, right.
The pilot of the airplane saying hi to the kids.
Wow. What's in the box, man? What's in there?
Here we have Amargo Obrero, which is like workman's bitter.
Uh-huh.
It's a kind of vermouth.
Yeah, I'll have some of that.
Therapy.
Oh, I feel all better now.
Yeah?
All better. What do you think? How, I mean, is there hope for me?
Wow.
Oh, boy. That doesn't sound promising.
I think what is good is that you start thinking or keep thinking about what's wrong in your life, what do you want to change, and especially what do you feel you can't change.
I was kind of hoping for a prescription for, like, morphine. Was this an unreasonable
idea? You should
take
it before. I think you should keep doing therapy, too.
Yeah, me too. You're probably right.
Yes.
I love staying in Buenos Aires in summer when the streets are empty. I love the city. I was born here, this huge metropolis where a lot of cultures melt. People from all Latin America, people from Asia, people from Europe. The personality of Buenos Aires is made from the melt of cultures.
When I get back to New York, I'll tell you, I'm gonna get off that plane, I'm gonna make myself a big salad. Excuse me, kid, what? Party start for the language. All right, what do you say we get some sausages?
Yes.
When you work next level. And when you play next level. And when it's time to sleep, Sleep Number smart beds are designed to embrace your uniqueness, providing you with high-quality sleep every night. Sleep next level. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, the Queen Sleep Number C4 smart bed is only $1,599. Save $300 for a limited time, only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com. Prices higher in Alaska and Hawaii. Quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. So you can choose what's right for you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature. Quiets their snores. Sleep Number does that. Sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on Sleep Number limited edition smart beds for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.